Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. My neck, look at me and my neck issues. We're going to talk about that today. I can't move. Deal with me. I'm going to try to hold back the pain, everybody. But I brought two funny folks to join us today. Two Florida-based comics and friends of mine to make some discussions our topic. You know, Dave Chappelle got attacked on stage. That guy would never make it on the Notre Dame football team. The guy who tried to attack him. Very bad tackling, technique. And got a lot more to talk about that. And, without further ado, let me introduce our guest today, Mr. L.A. Hardy and Dean Napolitano. What's up, fellas?
What's up?
What's up?
Good to see you guys. I'm messed up. My neck's messed up. God bless my chiropractor in South Carolina. God bless him. But mishap, getting my neck cracked. Get a little, next thing you know, a little stiff and it gets strained. Now I'm walking around like this. I can't.
You go to a chiropractor, huh?
I'm, you know, so.
That Obamacare really paying off.
Yeah, buddy. Really, yeah. Even Obama couldn't help your chiropractor bill, but your chiropractor doesn't get nothing when it comes to insurance. That's what make you look at a profession of the medical world, an industry of the medical world, and how insurance go, nah, we're not going to pay anything that office charges. What, really? Any rate, don't want to shit insurance. On us. Welcome, guys. You guys are Florida-based comics, still in Florida. I have left Florida. I'm in Greenville, South Carolina, but I still go back all the time. Why Florida?
A better LA? Question. Why Greenville, yeah. South Carolina?
How long you been there? I didn't realize. I remember you saying that. I forgot.
It'll be a year. Almost a year anniversary here at the end of this.
Whoa.
Month.
Wow.
Florida for me was, I came here out of high school, went to college, and then LA, lived in LA for 10 years and then back here. And now I'm taking care of this crazy bastard, my father, 92 and Italian. That says it all.
He's going to live to 115.
Oh yeah. Oh, I'll be gone for it.
Dude, we're in the similar boat. I moved here from Los Angeles, originally from Cleveland. My mom is 92, lives 10 minutes from me. But she's able to take care of herself, and just being close to her at this point in the game is a good thing. Florida's not a bad spot to be from. No. You can get in and out to most places, and it is what it is.
A lot of clubs.
Yeah, and Florida didn't give a shit about COVID, so we've been working the whole time.
Yeah, we don't close. Break. There's no closing.
I think clubs were closed. Like COVID really hit like February 2020, right? That's when it really started, then into March. I think that was my last show at the beginning of middle of February, maybe. And then from there, well, but there was open mics in May. Yeah, come on in, just wear the shitty mask.
Right.
Don't.
I was cruising by May, June, July. I was back getting a calendar together and said, "Fuck it, I'm doing it."
Wow.
Well, I in May, June, July, August, I went on my antibody comedy tour because I had caught it in late May, early June. So I had 90 days of immunity. You're right. It's and there's a lot of stuff. I mean, it's a great scene. I have some room. I mean, there's a lot of great clubs down there. Improv's just opened the Dania Beach Improv, which is a nice new room. So a lot of things to be doing down there. And taking care of parents. God bless you, fellas, because I was a care provider.
You sure you don't have COVID again? What the heck's going on?
I think it's the third time I got the shit. I got it three times in. I caught it at the improv holiday party.
I remember that. I remember saying that.
I don't know if I caught it there. I love when people say, I know who and where I caught it from. I'm like, really? How the fuck did you do that, man? It's amazing. That was the second time. So, who knows if I'd catch it the third time, at this point.
Wow.
I forgot what the hell I was talking about.
I'm I'm glad you're in South Carolina then.
Yes. It's the same way here. Nobody cares. You know what I mean? You go to certain parts of
Greenville's.
North Carolina, they get mass.
Yeah.
They want, they can... What's that,
You like
Dean?
Green? I like Greenville. I thought it was nice up there.
Listen, it's beautiful up here. Change of seasons. I'm not sweating my cojones off in the winter, in the summer. I'm not worried about a hurricane ruining my week or my month. You know what I
Didn't they
mean?
invent Levi's or blue jeans up there or some shit?
Yeah, you know, I'll have
There's
to
like a
check in next time I go into it. I have to check next time I go into a town hall fucking meeting. Is
I
this,
found it
hey, by the way, is
interesting.
this where fucking Levi's? But we got a comedy zone in downtown, which is awesome,
Yeah, that's a good point.
and it's good shit. Well, it's good, man, and thanks for taking care of the pops and the moms, because
Well,
there's a lot of people that don't do that. Like I used to have I was gonna say I have a bit because I have a bit about not having kids, but I didn't have kids. I had parents. You know, I had to take care of my parents. You know, and you know, I had to worry about them wandering off. You know, I had to worry about changing their diapers.
Oh yeah,
You know, so
good time, good time.
yeah. It just brought LA Hardy really fucking down. I was like, yeah, thanks, man. But God bless your God bless her because she doesn't need any help. She's in her 90s and she's doing everything on her own. That's amazing.
Dude,
That's
I came down here and got her out of QVC rehab. I mean, that was as bad as it got.
QVC rehab. Save your money, Ma. Put her
Yeah.
house look like, look like a store, right?
Wouldn't stop buying cheap stuff on TV, man. I had to get her out of there.
No
So funny.
shit.
My
She's still
mom would do that.
driving?
She
What's that?
LA,
She...
is your mom still driving?
Yeah, as unbelievable as that sounds. Everywhere
Good
but the
for
freeway. She will not touch a freeway, thank God.
her. Yeah. And good for her.
I was gonna
Yeah.
say, let me know. Sorry, let me know where she lives. So make sure I don't do any, you know, off freeway routes on my navigation. But that is amazing, dude. That's good for her. Sorry. I did catch COVID. I'm talking to Florida guys. I'm getting it over the fucking wire.
You don't hear us coughing.
Yeah, because you guys are Florida. You don't have anything, no
We
symptoms.
got these super
All
antibodies.
right. So let's get to the main topic. We didn't know how long it was going to take, but it didn't take long. Dave Chappelle was attacked at the Hollywood Bowl during a Netflix comedy special. Roll the tape.
Behind me on the DJ table is one of the most prolific producers that hip hop has ever presented, the mighty Mad Lib. Ladies and gentlemen, make some noise for hip hop history.
Yeah.
Wow. Really poor tackling.
Yeah,
Oh
look at
my
this.
God, terrible.
Jumped
Well,
into
first
it
of all,
instead of.
he left his feet. He didn't drive his legs.
Exactly. First thing I noticed.
Yeah, thanks, Coach Dean. Coach Dean.
You gotta keep that shoulder in that fucking drive. And then into the ground. And Chappelle ain't a big guy, so that was sad.
Yeah, he bounced off him.
No.
He had a running start and he bounced off
He
Chappelle.
did.
He did.
He did. He had a running start.
How about the
That's the
guy that
first time
said,
I've actually seen it. Oh,
really?
really? That's the first time I've actually seen it. I've never seen it before.
I like the guy
Really
that
poor
came out
time.
of the slip though, really bad. But the guy that came out to help him, he fucking Scooby-Doos it.
Yeah. Yeah, they look like the
Whoop.
Three Stooges.
It's always like that. You ever see someone jump on the football field or the baseball field and the one fat ass tries to get him and falls on his face? It's pathetic.
That is funny, dude. The guy comes out, it's gonna be a hero. I got you in a whoop.
He had his moment. He could have been the man. That's exactly what it was. I got you, Mr. Chappelle. I got you. Chappelle actually jumped back up pretty quick.
Sorry, now I'm
Dean,
on
back
workman's
me up
comp.
on this. That's about as good a security as we actually get in the clubs.
It's so true. I mean, you
I
both know
mean,
of shit.
is this going to
at
change
least
this? Is this
somebody
going to
came to
start?
his rescue.
Is this going to start change? Yeah, we're going to get into that, by the way. But is this going to change that in clubs now? Or, you know, as comics, do we have the right to say, hey, man, you know, I really do appreciate if you have somebody who's given the duty to intercede an aggressive patron.
It's funny that you bring this up because I've always been cognizant of people wanting to come on the stage. I've had any number of things thrown at me. I've had people attempt to come on stage. I'm always like, hey, man, is there security in the room? Who do I talk to if such and such goes wrong? That's always been my thing. Probably more so now. But my attitude has always been, if you come to the stage, if you step a foot on the stage, I'm dropping you. I'm not waiting, because I've always been told, if you step off of the stage, you're at fault. You are right. the one at fault. But yeah. if they come to the stage, I got this space. This is all I got. If you come up here, I can't be responsible. And I, Dean, I can imagine what happened to you, because I've been in that freaking room, and it's a free for all in there.
That room in Port Orange. Well, that was the thing. I've, like a lot of us will do something off the cuff, and I'll tend to bring someone up, or if someone does something fucked up, I'll be like, come up here for a second. And I invite them.
Right.
And then I'll be open to something happening. But that guy came at me real calm, just like Will Smith went at Chris Rock, like kind of with a smile on his face. And he was, I didn't even do anything really. I mean, he just turned around and I said, you don't go to the movies and stare at the projector. When does the fucking movie start? I said, give it a shot, you know, spin around. Cause he was facing the bartender talking to a girl. And he just kind of calmly walked up. And then I said, hey, you can't come up here. And I looked down at the floor. But he had a smile on his face. There was no aggression. And then he just gave me that right hook with my, you know, jaw. I had my, pow. I mean, he
went right on the book. Hold on a second. First of all, as a self-preservationist, and secondly, as a martial artist, when there's a man walking onto the stage, what compelled you to look at the floor?
Here's the thing. He put his foot up, because I've had guys come up that look like they were angry, and then they basically were leaving, and they came up to the stage and gave me a fist bump and said, all right, man, I'm out of here. And they just left. And he came up smiling. I couldn't say, hey, man, back the fuck up. I knew everybody in the room. I knew just about everybody's Daytona where I started. And I'm not that guy that, I even said to the guy he could stay. I said, because it looked like he was going to leave first. I said, you don't got to leave. I said, enjoy the show. And he came up real slow, and I thought he was going to do that. I thought he was going to say, all right, man, and go back. And then, like, right when he was about to the stage, I was like, this doesn't feel right. Because I've had people come up aggressively. I said, you come up here, it's going to be a problem. But this one was, 30 years of this, and that's never happened. It'll never happen again, I guarantee that. But, yeah, it was definitely, I mean, the guy got, they jumped up on his ass and just, the audience.
Good.
It looked like Frankenstein movie. Like, fucking everybody was
good. Get him.
Good.
But then, it turned out he was served divorce papers before the show, which doesn't give him an excuse. But it wasn't about me, just like Will Smith. It was about his life.
Something else.
And someone, he was going to punch someone that night. And it was just the opportunity for him to say, oh, fuck this guy. And, I could have done more damage. I mean, he ended up having to do like community service, alcohol, drug stuff. I don't say his name ever. He had kids. If I would have pressed it even further, he would have never been able to go to a sporting event for his kids. He's never been in trouble in his life. And I remember when I got divorced and being pretty angry and went out one night and thought, I'll fight somebody tonight. It didn't happen. But if someone was an asshole, I thought, I had all that anger.
Wow.
Can do to you.
Yeah, man. I should have sued the club, number one, because he didn't have any security. And
right.
And it was weird that happened, but he was nervous I was going to sue him. And I had a video too. I had a video from the bar.
Wow. You and I both, that you're talking, is that La Playa?
No, La Playa would get rough sometimes too. This was Port Orange.
Oh, okay. Well, I did the Port Orange one.
Yeah, man. They can be a little rowdy and mouthy on there.
Yeah.
Wow. And that's the thing. I mean, what do you guys, besides getting that, any type of new prep? I mean, I may carry some sort of baton in my back pocket if I see some coming out, whip it out and knock them into next month. And And one of the things, by the way, if you want to be, make sure you got all the ducks in a row, it is okay if somebody does come onto the stage and forcefully with you, you're basically protecting yourself with lethal force.
Yeah. Absolutely. Once you come on stage, you've given up your right at self-defense.
Exactly. But if you somehow neglectfully hammer this guy so hard, he falls onto a pregnant woman and then she dies and the baby. You may be calling
that's a hell of a assault. Scenario.
Well, and that was the situation, and that is just like the dude wasn't aggressive. He literally had a smile on his face. That's why when Will Smith walked up and I saw the smirk and he just kind of, and Chris Rock was like, "All right, here we go. What's going on?" He leaned in. Everybody thought it was a fake. He leaned in to be like, "All right, what are we doing here?" And when he was hit, I knew from minute one, I knew second one, it was totally real. And everybody's like, "That was fake." I'm like, "No, that reaction is the same. You're embarrassed. You're humiliated. You're full of rage. It was the weirdest thing." And I got hit. I got a concussion. I was like on one knee, running around in a circle. I mean, I've been punched in a fight, but I've never been sucker punched right on the button.
Did your neck hurt as bad as mine right now? Can't turn around. I'm in the car and I can't. I'm like trying to look to make like a fucking crash.
When you talk to somebody,
Why are all your problems first world problems?
I know. Well, look at me, man. I'm complaining. Oh my, fuck my life.
My neck. I had to go to the.
By the way, you mentioned Chris Rock. Chris Rock says he's got slapped by the softest person that ever rapped.
Softest dude. Yeah.
You know, when this happened, I posted on Facebook and social media. I said Will Smith is done. I don't know if it was even. It may have been you, LA, or somebody. I don't remember. Somebody said, "Yeah, right." You know, and I don't know. I think this is.
They've never played more Will Smith music on the radio than they have lately.
Oh, really?
I've heard more of his music lately than I have over the last 10 years.
Don't you think that's the same phenomenon when like you buy a certain car and then you start seeing the car all the time? You know, Will Smith slapped the guys and all of a sudden you're hearing every fucking song that has his voice in it. Just saying. Anything different? To protect yourself on stage? Like I said, I'm going to have a slap certain questionable areas. I'm going to have a slapstick in my pocket.
I'm going to use the mic stand, and I warn people if someone gets aggressive, I say, look, I've been through this once. It ain't happening again. So, don't think you're just going to run up. And if they do,
Are you guys mentioning this type of thing in your show when you start? A lot of people seem to
admit.
Have you? I have. I think once.
I have in a joking way. I just said, if no matter what I say, if somebody comes up here and you slap me, it's not going to go good, that kind of thing. But I mean, the other part of this is you don't want to be as the comic, the person that goes out there and instigates this to happen.
Right. Yeah. Challenges them.
Having that in the back of your head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it gets people to know when someone of that caliber does it at the Oscars, what is, whatever comedy anybody club in Daytona Beach. Yeah.
You mentioned that. What do you think is worse, Will Smith's reputation or Hollywood itself and how they handled him after that ordeal? They treated Chris Rock like shit, but all of a sudden he was the Aussie. He was there. He was awarded. He was,
It was disgusting.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Chris Rock's going to write some funny material about all those people in that room. I think he's going to hopefully have one of the best hours he's ever done on Hollywood in general and talk about every single person that didn't do a thing. I hope.
He's got he was the ultimate professional in all of this. I mean, most of us would have definitely acted a lot differently. I mean, the stand-up comic in him came out and he was just like, okay, let's go to the next thing. Let's go to the next person, the next presenter. I mean, that's a pro, man.
But at first he was going to do like five jokes. He said, I could. And then no. And they were in his ear going, please don't. It was the first all produced black Oscars. That was a thing I didn't want to ruin. And I think that played into it with him that the producer was like, man, don't escalate it. And it was a very successful production. But that one incident you know, the guy who got the Oscar for a documentary. You don't even know who, you know, he didn't get his moment.
Questlove. That was a good documentary too, actually.
He got robbed. Yeah. He got robbed.
Can't get back to that. Well, let's get off this violent aspect. And let's talk about Roe v. Wade.
No violence there.
Crazy. No violence there.
You're, nice segue.
You really took the good topics.
What I'm amazed at, it just feels like whoever's holding the scepters just keeps throwing shit at us. You know what I mean? I just feel like everything to argue about is being thrown in our fucking face. You know what I mean? It's like, let's just let the hoople heads, you know, bang amongst themselves so they don't worry about what we're fucking doing. I just can't help but feel that right now.
Roe versus Wade, man. Just me personally, leave these women alone. They got to make enough decisions as it is. I'm not here to make a decision about your body. I'm the last person. I can't even make a good decision about what to eat at lunch, man. Do what you got to do. If that's what you feel for you, that's my take on it.
Yeah, the way these people protest now and the shit they do, this is from 1973, right? They're going to revisit this now and cause all this turmoil. But there's been some bizarre protests on like the steps of churches with women with fake babies, and they're stabbing the baby with a knife saying, "I'll kill you." It's just some weird shit.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not good for anybody to have. It doesn't, and it, the subject itself, I get, but what are you doing up there? And who has the time? How do you go back to your real life after acting like a child instead of protesting like an adult? Yeah. That's like, look at me. Is it really about the thing, or you just want to be this big play out there?
That's a great point. I think when you see these types of thing, it's almost like character theatrical, you know, these are the people you want to have put on camera to make a point. You know, somebody once said, these are a very really small element of society. These are the people that just come out for moments like this and don't really speak. I mean, the reality of the ruling is it's just getting it as no longer a federal allowance. It's going to be now voted on each state, which makes, you know, some states are going to be states where women give oral sex, and there are going to be other states where women will actually bang you, because what depends on, you know, I think personal choice. When anybody ever asked me this, I always think, look, if first of all, it was my wife or my girl and my child, I think I have a say in it. You know what I mean? I think I would have a say in it. I don't think it'd be just up to the woman I'm having a child with. I'd be like,
I got some news for you. You don't have a say in it.
Yeah, I know.
That's a woman. That's a woman.
I get it. I get it. But I would tell you, and that would be the only instance where I would actually feel I personally had some say. You know what I mean? After that, you're right. Every decision every other human being makes is their own. You handle the fucking consequences of those decisions.
What I'm trying to say is, that's a woman. You're never going to tell a woman what to do, ever. Mm. She's going to always do whatever she wants to do. Now, she may not be physically able to do it, but believe you me, you already know. You married?
Yeah.
We can talk trash and have feelings about it, but she's going to do what she wants to do.
Right. You know, you mentioned this about the things that are happening from it, you know, the leakers, you know, that to me is the biggest thing of the story is the leakers purposely doing this to rile up. Again, that's why I feel it's all orchestration. You know, it's somebody's take, you know what I mean? And it's like, somebody had to do this. This hasn't happened, you know. This type of thing doesn't happen. You make a post like this, and then people on social media say, "Oh, it's not illegal." I go, "Does it really matter the semantics of what I'm trying to tell you? Are you telling me it's not? You're right, it's not illegal, but it's ethical. Is that what you're telling me? Like, you know, you're going with it, right. And it's just this immediate thing, and it really makes me. Which comes to the final aspect of the topic before we get into the stories. How far are we away from complete mayhem and fucking chaos? We're getting people attacked in the fucking street on stage. You have, you know, people, you know, they dox the members of the Supreme Court. You know, they're getting them in their home addresses. They're going to their houses. You know what I'm saying? And
we're attacking the Capitol.
Yes. All kinds of mayhem, burning in the streets. It's all for the purpose of, I don't know. How close are we to fucking...
Well, we still don't know what bathroom to use.
No.
I say keep this side against this side, and then the corruption can keep corrupting. So if everybody's fighting, when it all comes down to it, when it comes to, like, for the most part, I think, I mean, I could be wrong. Black comics I know, black friends I know, everybody gets along. I don't see, and then when it comes to like gay and lesbian and straight, I don't see them saying, oh, you're gay, I can't hang. I have a sister that is gay. I married my sister, but you sit there and people want to keep everybody against each other. And right. I heard LA doesn't like this, or Dean doesn't like gay people. I'm like, what? I married my sister, you know? One time, a joke I did years ago, somebody called me homophobic. I'm like, I'm talking about what my brothers said to me in my life. I'm telling you about my life and how it made them look foolish and funny. But they didn't listen to the context of the joke. They listened to the trigger word. He said gay and something about bad or gay people. And I'm like, you don't even fucking listen to the joke. You're waiting to hear your trigger.
Right. Yeah.
That's the word right there.
The trigger, right? I mean, you know, it's just gotten so weird that you can't even joke about an ethnicity or a thing. Like, I can say, like, I can have so many things about Italians that are hilarious, that are universal, that bleed over into Hispanic and black culture that are the exact same. You think we grew up in the same family. And I have had this conversation with many black actors, black comics, Hispanic, and I'm like, that's my fucking family. But, you know, everybody's so afraid now. It's like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Can't care.
I mentioned this, but I think I'm what I've seen out there, and maybe it's just the places I've been, that it's lightening up a little bit. I mean, I haven't been performing in Portland lately, you know, but it just seems like people are like, really, let's lighten up. Hopefully mayhem.
Each other. I think that we got to make fun of each other. I mean, not a douchebag. Don't be a douchebag, but the cutting up that we did as kids and it's what made you closer, right? That's it.
Got to be able to break balls, and you got to be able to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Simple. I mean, every once in a while you have that one guy who just does it way too fucking much.
That's it. Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's that
we
one guy.
I remember.
And it was funny. One time, the last time this happened to me, we were outside. It was different event, but right where, Fazal Malik's Spill the Beans comedy show is.
Oh,
right,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right in that place, in that cock, right up in that area. And we're sitting there, and there's this one guy, he's from Boston, and he's like, he's always like, you know, brr, 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 brr. And he goes like this one time, and I'm with my buddy Ish, who's with my wife's friend dating, and he's like, Ish is a Polish motorcycle street racer. You know, he's a tough dude, you know. And this one guy goes, hey, Dougie, hey, he goes to my wife. He goes, how can you be with this guy? You're so beautiful, and look at him, you know? And I'm just sitting there like this fucking guy, you know? And my buddy Ish, who only, this by maybe the second or third time, he saw this guy busting my balls. He goes, hey, look the fuck at you, that ugly fucking sweater. You fucking, you look gay. You, and he's just starting to, you know, you who the fuck you ugly, you know? And I'm like, hey, calm down, Ish. It's all right. He's just a douchebag.
Just that constant ball buster. Yeah.
He's just a ball buster, you know? Oh, God. All right. Well, it's time for the news as a joke. This is where we bring real stories and try to fucking make fun of them. Because listen, you know, one of my shows, me and Steve Mudflap McGrew did a story about a man who got run over by a tractor while taking a shit in a porta potty. Now, that is a tragic event for the person in the porta potty, of course, but it is a fucking funny story. So that's that's basically what we try to accomplish here by going over these stories. Now, this is a good Russian reality TV show called I'm Not Gay makes 8 contestants guess which one of them is gay. And is hosted by a right-wing politician, of course.
I mean, how does that show get
probably that guy that's got his... Yeah.
Probably which one?
It's probably that guy with the dick in his mouth. Probably that guy.
He's going to say it's the guy sucking the other guy's dick.
I mean, it's just like, how does this
show get the fuck? Somewhere somebody said, yeah, let's do that show.
And then they cast the show. They have to cast it, right?
Yeah.
And then you want them, if it's money involved and you win, you want them to believe you're gay. So you got to act as gay as you can, even though you're straight. Then are you gay? Maybe you're gay.
Right.
Yeah. Well, maybe questioning at least. Right. And you know, maybe somebody's offended, you know, there's an actor somewhere in Russia going, I'm going to play the role of Vladimir Putin. I'm going to be, hold on. Here's my agent. Oh, you want me to play a gay guy? How dare you?
How many rubles is the prize?
Yeah. How much gas do you give me? How much bread and bologna can you give me for the role? There's no food at the market now because of Putin and his whatever the fuck he's calling it.
Yeah. Oh,
that's a fucking funny story. Yeah.
That is.
And I, you know, I'm not gay. That's great.
How'd you like to have your agent call you for that one, Dean?
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah.
I haven't been working much, so hey, we got a shot. We think you're perfect for the role.
Yeah, exactly. Now, exactly. We think you're perfect.
Yeah. By the way, that being said, you guys are both thespians. You both are actors, as is
what did
I.
You call us?
Thespians.
Mother son of a
Come on. We are. So that being said, as a male, two male actors, if you had a scene, would you do a makeout scene with another man, Dean?
I was up for a role on some cop show, a good cop show, Cold Case, years ago. And it was a guest starring role, and it was two cops, and you had to make out with, you had to like kiss the other cop, like a kiss. And yeah, two dudes. And I was like, I'm an actor, I should be able to do this, you know, but in my head. So I get the call back, two producers, and I had a really good call back, and I was torn because I'm like, should be able to do this as an actor. On this hand, I have five older brothers, and this shit ain't gonna end to the day I die. I didn't get the role, so I didn't have to worry about it. It was like 10 grand.
James, similar story, man. And actually, it was for a promo for what's his name, a well-known boxer, two of them actually, and it was a promo, and they were going to do something like a Saturday Night Live thing, and I had to, I mean, mouth on, kiss this dude, and I was just like you, man. I was torn between the money and what I had to do, but yet luckily the decision was taken out of my hands.
Yeah.
I kind of put it like that. I said, if I book this role, then I'm supposed to do this role for a reason. If I do and I don't, but you know, it is what it is. You know, I've never had been put in that situation. So, to me, I don't have to do certain things to prove I'm a good actor. I'm an okay actor. I think, like, you know, I've always liked comedy more than acting. So, you know,
yeah.
Acting
is
so stressful, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. The stress. I get so stressed, I start sweating, and I hate being on camera. Then I start sweating, and I fucking, then the makeup, where's the makeup? And you're like, fucking,
and you
know,
just
don't
wait.
Dab.
Yeah, you're waiting.
A lot of waiting. There's a lot of waiting.
And if you fuck up the scene, you feel bad. And if it's a higher up actor, you know, you do a scene with a well-known actor, and you're like, oh, don't fuck up. You're not really you're in your head.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, our next story. NASA wants to send nudes to space in order to attract aliens. Don't send them a photo of me.
When I saw this one, I'm like, why would that? We don't know what they like.
Yeah. You know, the aliens looking at it going, what? No antenna?
Yeah.
Who are these hairless animals?
Yeah, because the odds are they're probably more involved. They're probably, I wouldn't imagine they look like us. I would think it just makes no sense. I mean, they're really considered.
I literally just had this conversation with my girl the other day as to what type of stimulation an alien would have or would enjoy what would you think it would be? And she was like, well, they would probably be more intellectually mind fuck you or something like that.
Yeah.
Is kind of how she and I, that's what I would be thinking. Cause I wouldn't think our physical would be something that would be attractive to them.
Well, and if they're truly evolving, you would be a single set. You'd be able to reproduce on your own. So sex, they say, in a more advanced creature wouldn't be part of the equation.
Yeah, yeah, and you, and I think they say the advanced culture is there is no more contact. No. It's all, it's so you're right. The sexual thing would be the one, you know, the one alien going, looking at her and going, why don't you show me or tell me telepathically what you would do to me tonight?
And then the other one goes, thanks a lot. Next thing you know, they're all sticky. They never touched.
And then she's going, oh, I like that idea. Don't touch me, you asshole. Stay away from me, Fungo. That's my alien name, Fungo.
I guess the other question, how do we know, how does NASA know that this would attract aliens?
Right.
Yeah.
So maybe they know something they're not saying.
Yeah. They're actually sending out a fucking menu. She's like, hey, look where you can come get some of this fucking heavy meat.
You see.
You know, they wanted to send out a signal, and there was this is another story. They were scientists talking about a signal, and they sent out that one years ago where they sent out Louis Armstrong music, and they sent out, you know, some things in a capsule out to space. And now they're like, they're so, and you know, the idea is who are the people that are going, and I think scientists, fucking scientists have a real in-depth knowledge about what matters to human, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. They don't have any, you know, they have one fucking focus. You know, you should be asking like social media people, you know, what should we be sending out? Send out a fucking joke, you know, send out a fucking joke, you know, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. It's
no,
just
I
funny.
Get you. Like, who picks the songs that they're gonna get? Like, if the aliens get here and they're looking for Louis Armstrong, we're fucked.
Yeah,
you know, you know, we just got album.
Yeah,
you know,
they send fucking They send Louis Armstrong music up there, and a fucking bunch of lizard aliens dressed like Kiss come down here. What the fuck? Wrong boot.
It's so bizarre.
In the topic of irony, Ulta Beauty apologizes for "Come Hang with Kate Spade" perfume promo email.
She committed suicide.
Yeah, she hung herself with a designer scarf.
How do you fucking write that?
What? Is that true?
Yeah, she hung herself in a hotel, I think, or her condo, or in New York.
I did not hear that.
Yeah, she committed. This was a few years back, and then hang with Kate Spade.
Oh, that's fucked up.
Yeah, Kate Spade, a fashion designer and founder of Kate Spade brand, died by suicide in 2018. She was dealing with depression, and who isn't?
Yeah.
Thanks to our current, never won't get political. I wanted to say something. It's the wrong podcast. That's my other podcast.
This is their job. Someone has to lose it over that.
Yeah. Yeah. They apologize for the wording, by the way. Ulta apologized for the wording. We didn't realize that. What was the other one that some fucking other company used, monkeys in a barrel or something, the smartest monkey? There was a clothing shirt company, and they had a little black young guy on there, and it said something about monkeys.
I think that was
something like that.
The what?
I think it was the Gap. I think it was
something like that.
That's a real
story. I think it was. Yeah, I think
how do you are so out of touch with everything that you go, oh, that's a great shirt. They're going to love it.
Yeah. Great ad. Thanks. Let's hear it for the guys in marketing. Let's hear it for the fucking guys in marketing. Speaking of people making decisions, Canada proposes space law to punish crimes committed on the moon. So if you're thinking about flying to the moon and getting there and finding yourself a nice crater and spanking one off, you better be careful. Canada is going to arrest you
Canada
for indecent exposure.
Canada's a mess. They don't prosecute crimes in their freaking country. You're going to prosecute crimes on the moon, you dumb fucks.
Have they ever even been to space?
That's a good point. That's an
somebody has to tell us what happened up there. I can't do a Canadian
accent. They ever get there,
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Hey, can we get a ride up there, eh?
Are there Canadian nationals?
How are you going to prosecute something you've never been to?
Yes.
And how are you going to know?
Oh, shit. That's one thing we know. There's no Canadian flag on the moon.
That is great. Yeah.
It's the stupidest one I've ever heard.
A Canadian crew member who, during a space flight, commits an act or a mission outside Canada that is a fucking story about how they actually announced, they actually ruled on a Canadian astronaut that went up there and the court ruled it. So now they're trying to say Canada. Yeah, Canada. Step back, motherfuckers. You know who you are.
Oh, they
have. Okay, so they have actually been to space. They have been.
Yeah. Yeah. Not on one of their rockets. I mean, you know.
They took an Uber.
Yeah. They're trying to get up there. They try to get up there and they realize they were just on the blue horizon or whatever. They're just floating around the stratosphere.
Yeah. The tip of space.
Oh my God. This is a great story. Russian oil tycoon was found dead after reportedly being treated with toad venom to cure a hangover. Hey, Boris, come over here. I have something for your hangover. I mean,
somebody didn't like that dude.
No, that is not an accident. First of all, anybody, these people, have you guys ever licked a toad?
No.
Anybody?
She looked like one, but no.
Yeah, I kissed a few pigs.
She did taste funny. No, I think whenever I hear someone talk about that, I'm like, who would actually do that? But people do it. But you don't know people what you're getting. You don't know who that toad's hanging out with other toads, getting other toad shit.
Yeah. You don't know who just licked the toad.
Yeah,
you don't know who just licked the fucking toad before you did.
Exactly. I wouldn't. No way.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Shit. That's funny.
Hey, did anybody lick? Someone has anybody else toad. Licked this toad yet? Has anybody licked this fucking toad yet? Did anybody double dip the fucking toad?
Yeah. You know what else is crazy about that story? He's a Russian oil tycoon. He's a billionaire, probably. And the best remedy for a hangover is somebody says, lick this toad.
Yeah.
Okay.
He could get
opinion. I don't need second opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like you. I like you. You give me first shot of vodka. You're my friend. You wouldn't let me go wrong. You take care of me.
I wonder where he dipped that toad before he licked it.
Yeah. Hold on. Give
Boris bad. He's bad. Fucking toad. His toad tastes like ass. Yeah.
he's putting a fucking Putin cocktail together.
Oh. Right. Oh, that's right.
Yeah. He poisons people, right?
Oh, yeah.
There's more to that story.
I don't know how you guys feel about custom license plates, but Maine is now close to ridding license plates of obscenities. Portland, Maine, the racking, fracking, sassafras, and salty language of hundreds of Maine people who have nothing else to fucking do, putting all kinds of shit on their license plates, foul language. Well, somebody's stepping up and saying, none more of this shit. Like it
is
matters.
That a cartoon reference? The racking, fracking, sassafras?
Yeah.
I like it. When they in cartoons, they do that.
Yosemite Sam.
Racking. You got to be
Yosemite
shitting.
Sam. Yeah. Racking, fracking, fracking. The AP, by the way. So I'm just reading straight from the AP.
You can't say anything.
Would eliminate references to genitalia, sex acts, profanities that proliferated after the state severely loosened language. They're pulling back.
Yeah.
Pull back. You let the hoople do whatever the fuck they want. You know?
Now you're putting more responsibility on people at the DMV. They got enough to do.
You know, here's the thing, though.
Slow enough. We can't have them figuring out.
See, you know what's that old saying? It's better to know the devil amongst me than the friend among you know, whatever that is. And you know, with the people that are fucking morons, the people that you know, look at me. You know, I want to know that if they ever committed a crime, hey, did you happen to catch the license plate? Did I catch the license plate? It was ass muncher. It was ass muncher.
It would be easier.
No doubt.
You know what I mean? Matter of fact, what they should do is chronic, like people who are just always in the fucking criminal, you know, hey, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to give you a license plate that.
Your plate.
That, yeah. Yeah, it was me.
Identified.
This is your fucking license plate. Yes, yes it was me.
It was me. Fuck stick five. I was there.
God, no proof necessary.
Guilty as charged.
Yeah.
Guilty. Guilty.
Only in me.
That's fucking funny. Have you seen Guilty lately, comedian? Have you seen him?
I haven't seen him
in a long time. Good dude.
I haven't. Yes.
Now, this is a great story about the world of law. A car owner who left Jeep at a dealership gets sued after the worker who's fixing the car dies during an oil change. Now,
I saw this.
Yeah. Now, Dean, you read the story, Dean?
Yeah, I read this story before you had said it. And I thought, like, how is this a lawsuit? Because I think the kid, he didn't have a license, and he got in and popped the clutch, or he had one foot in the car and the thing jerked forward and smushed the other guy. Am I getting that right? From what I remember?
Basically, the head mechanic gets in front of the Jeep in the garage after it's been dropped off by the client.
Okay.
And they go, hey, Joe, go in the fucking car and start it up. And he doesn't realize. And he starts it, boom, kills the guy instantly against the wall.
Wow.
Now,
how's that the owner liable?
Well, because an attorney realized that you cannot sue your own employee for negligence. Like you can't, you know, one employee's act of another act can't be sued, you know. So since it was the car itself. Obviously, let's say it had been in gear. It was left in gear. You know what I mean? You know,
no,
they're trying to pull a case. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they got no chance with that.
But what a way to go. Oof.
I mean, can you know what I'm saying?
You just.
Listen, I'm worried about a world of chaos. This guy's fucking chaos was just going to work one day and letting fucking, you know, some schmuck, hey, you know, he's so busy playing fucking video games all day. I got my first job at the fucking tire place, you know.
Hey, you want to hear what's
just doing an oil change.
Hey, we're talking. I know he can hear us. My dad's in the next room and he's calling my phone. See what's up. Should I take the call?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, take it. Yeah.
It's Pops.
Hey, what's up? Where did I go? I'm in here doing the podcast. I told you. I'm in the other room.
Are you in the room?
I'm in the room right next to you.
I didn't see you.
What's up, Pop?
What up, Pop?
Say hi to the other comedians.
What's up, Pop?
Hey, how you doing, guy?
Hey, how you doing, guy?
We're great.
All right, I got to go. Let me finish this. I'm an adult here. I'll be out in a minute. Goodbye.
That's great.
I'll be in the fucking room.
And dude, this guy you were talking about. Listen, dude, we were talking about taking care of family and shit. And my mother, God bless her, my father passed. He had Parkinson's before he passed. And, you know, it was pretty bad. And then she had dementia and all kinds of shit. And I can't tell you how many times I had to run to the house to fix. Yeah, I remember, like, I'd go there. The remote doesn't work. The remote. I'm like, Mom, that's because that's the fucking phone. That's the phone you're trying to change and turn the fucking channel to TV on, Mom. Okay. God bless.
I'm going insane.
That's the bane of my existence is my mom's phone. Bane of my existence.
Yeah. So now he gets on the phone. He's going to start calling people and he's going to start talking at 40 octaves above what we're at. So get ready.
And repeat everything three times.
Oh yeah.
Well, let's do this. Let's wrap it up with the last story. You know, I don't know if you guys saw this, but several bodies have been found in Lake Mead, which is drying up like an old banana peel on an Arizona highway. You know, they found countless bodies as this lake just withers away to the sun. You know, we were talking and we opened the show talking about where we live. You know, Vegas has a great comedy scene, right? A lot of great clubs. Every night you got shows. I mean, you got all kinds of stuff. A state that's tax-free, federally tax-free to live there, like kind of like Florida. But could you live in Vegas? You know, let's say put aside the task of being a care provider, you know what I mean? But, you know, could you live there?
LA?
I would have a hard time. I like being near the water, and it's a little too hot for me. A few other reasons too, but.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I like you. I like what you're saying too. I like the water too. And I could do it for on and off, but I don't think I'd want to be there full time. And plus, you know, I like gambling a little bit. That's just not a good atmosphere for me.
Yeah. I agree. I get after a week or so, I get a little crazy because I don't see the color green. Everything's so dismal, like gray or, you know, that sand color. And I just feel weird. But hey, you know, if you like it, you could do it. That's why I'm in Greenville. See, I like the green. I moved to Greenville. I got change of season here. I got people, neighbors that bring me pies. Neighbors are bringing me pies. I got,
oh shit.
You know, I only dealt with, it's so funny, dude. I've lived here like a year. I've only had almost two exhibits of road rage the whole time I've been here. I go back to Florida. I'm coming back from the airport. There's road rage on the way home from the airport. I'm like, fucking, this is what I hate about Florida. But
road rage you're doing or someone's doing at you?
No, like driving aggressively, cutting you. Especially since I've been here, I drive. Plus, for my car insurance, they have me on that thing where it tells you what you're doing. You know how you drive, so you can get a discount.
Oh yeah,
dude, I've been driving Miss Daisy, man. For the last 90 days, okay. So and I've liked it. You're not driving fast and speeding and shit. I actually enjoy it. It's less stressful.
Really?
You know, I mean, yeah, I'm going right in the middle lane. Just
don't
keeping,
you get
you know,
points
just,
deducted if you brake too hard or you like, right?
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Late night driving. If you're driving at 2 a.m, they don't like that shit.
That's it. Oh man, that's like getting social credits in China. Fuck that.
Right. Yeah. you know where you are at all times.
Yeah, well, you can always say, I'm sorry. You can always say, I'm not the driver. I'm a passenger.
Yeah.
Then they send you an email. Where'd you leave your car, asshole? Hey, this is fucking with my privacy. Anyway, I want to thank you guys for joining us today on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Dean Napolitano, Ellie Hardy.
Thanks for having
us. Dean, what you got coming up, man?
This week I'm actually off. Next week I'm at Snappers Comedy Club in Palm Harbor. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Two shows on Saturday, one on Thursday, one on Friday.
Nice.
Snappers. Love it.
LA?
I got La Cielo Lounge, which I'm booking next Thursday. Tuesday, I got a Caribbean club I'm doing here in town in Port St. Lucie. Next week, I think I'm at the Improv. My dry bar is coming out in June. And nice. You can see Meaningless Debate on YouTube. 14 episodes are on there. Dougie, I think you did it, didn't you?
Nope.
Did you do Meaningless? We did 14 episodes before we cut it off, and we're hoping to get some more on there. So you can check us out there, too.
There you go. As for me, this Saturday, I'm going to be at Sunrise Theater opening for Tim Gaither, Black Box. And then Sunday in Isle Mirada at the Island Grill opening for Tim Gaither. Tuesday at the Field Irish Bar and Grill in Dania Beach. And Wednesday at Tavolino's in Coral Springs. Wednesday, Club Bremen. Private night. Can't go unless you bought a car from Club Bremen. Great place. And on Friday, McGurdy's Comedy Club competing in the World Series of Comedy. But Saturday, I'm booked with Kyle Grooms at the Burgerish Bar and Pub in St. Pete. Come and see me. Thanks, guys, for joining us. Don't forget to follow us on our YouTube channel and subscribe to us there. We need you there. We want to get a bunch of people. And, of course, follow on Twitter and Instagram. Follow us all over the place. God bless you guys. Take care. And we'll be back with another show next time you see us. How vague is that? Take care.